How bad does it screw up somebody's credit if they fall into foreclosure? And let's say the bank goes all the way through the process and forecloses on the house. I mean, does that like absolutely destroy somebody's credit? Welcome to Boosting Your Financial IQ, where we talk about business finance and how to increase your confidence as you speak the language of money and apply these principles to drive greater financial value in your company. Please share and enjoy. Okay, so let's start from the beginning here. Somebody loses their job or they run into a financial situation where they can't pay their mortgage and they have to decide, okay, do I pay my mortgage or do I pay these other bills? So they decide not to pay their mortgage. From my understanding of what you said, you know, they have 90 days typically before the foreclosure process begins. Is that correct?
Yeah, so typically that's correct. And I say typically because every bank is different. But the way the process typically looks is that, you know, a borrower doesn't pay their mortgage for 1 month. And then their servicer, who is the person they pay the payments to, who may be different than the actual owner of the mortgage, will reach out to them and say, hey, you didn't make your payment. They'll charge a late fee and things like that. And then they wouldn't pay it for another 30 days. So that's about 60 days. They'll add the late fee. And then when it gets to that 90-day mark, that's when the servicer will probably let the investor know, do you want us to move forward with filing foreclosure and sending a demand letter? Or do you want to let this continue to ride? What would be ideal for a homeowner if they're facing that situation where they have to choose between paying their mortgage and paying their other bills, or if they had a life event that happened that does not allow them to pay their mortgage? It's always best to communicate with your loan servicer before the event happens. So if you know you can't pay your mortgage in the next couple of weeks, call your mortgage servicer and let them know. And let them know what your plan is. Let them know when you're going to pay, how you're going to pay. And at least that way they are aware. That may not stop them from taking action, but you have begun the process of communication, which is very, very important.
Okay. What if you don't want to call them and you're like, okay, my mortgage is $2,500 a month, for example. And you say, I'm just going to mail in $500. Will that do it? Will that delay the foreclosure process because you're making some type of payment? Or that doesn't matter if you don't make the full payment, they're still going to go down that route?
That's really a case by case basis, right? Because if you are paying $500 and it's the first month, they may accept that $500, but you're still going to get late fees for a late payment. And the other $2,000 that you owe is going to be added on to next month. So next month, instead of owing $2,500, you're going to owe $4,500, right? If you spend another $5,000, the next month, you're going to owe $6,500. And so when that 90-day mark comes, you are still considered delinquent. And they can move forward with the foreclosure, but that's, again, where that communication needs to happen. Because if you say, I lost my job, I'm paying you all I can pay, a lender may give you a forbearance and say, don't even pay me for the next 2 months while you find a new job. Or they may say, wait, and in 3 months, we're going to follow back up with you, and we may be able to modify the loan, or we may be able to look at government programs or things like that that can help you. The problem that we have in this country is that a lot of people, when they're facing bad situations or they're facing financial difficulties, they just kind of stick their head in the sand and just think that saying nothing is the best way to go, when it's the exact opposite. Communicating and over communicating is the best thing you can do when you're facing financial difficulties.
Yeah. And I mean, how long is the process overall? Let's just say you stop paying and you're like, look, I can't make any payments. I mean, at what point or how long does it take before they throw you out on the streets, literally?
That's a difficult question to answer because that is going to vary state by state by state, even down to the county. So for example, I live in Georgia, and Georgia is a pretty fast foreclosure state. It's a non-judicial foreclosure state. And so from the time somebody stops paying their mortgage to the time I can be on the courthouse steps in Georgia is just 4 weeks. And that's basically they can advertise the property in the local newspaper for 4 weeks, and then they can go cry it on the courthouse for sale. But if you take a state like New York, in New York, it could take you a year and a half or 2 years to foreclose on somebody because it has to go through the judicial process.
Okay. Now, what about from an investment standpoint? Are there opportunities for investors to pick up deals and bargains on homes that are being foreclosed on?
There are absolutely opportunities for investors to buy homes that are in foreclosure. It presents
which a sounds really terrible, by the way. Let me just caveat. I mean, it sounds terrible. You're like taking advantage of somebody else's misfortune. But I mean, let's face it, there are homes out there where people just abandon them. Maybe they just like skip out and they just move out in the middle of the night and they stop paying. But I mean, I'm sure there's opportunity. So keep going on that. I just wanted to throw that little caveat in there.
No, I definitely appreciate you adding a caveat. But I think that when people think about it, they think about some greedy investor taking advantage of the sweet little old lady who's facing foreclosure. But in all honesty, that's not what it is. You do see that in some scenarios, and there are some nefarious people out there. But most of the time, what happens is when the investor comes into play, they're meeting somebody who has very few options, and they're presenting a solution to that person's problem. And by helping them figure out the value of their property, the best way to move forward, and providing a solution to somebody who has definitely probably tried other things, they're really solving a problem. In addition to that, the investor oftentimes has the resources to help that person better than someone who does not have a vested interest. So for example, the bank just wants their money. And so they're not really interested in if you stay or if you go, as long as you're paying them. The investor wants the house, but they also want to make sure that you're in a better place. And so they're able to potentially give you cash, help you find somewhere else to go, or allow you to stay in the property for a few months while you figure out what's going on and how you rebuild your life. And so investors play a very important role in helping kind of the whole economy of real estate move forward and helping people who are facing distress.
And I mean, how much do banks put houses up on sale for? And I know it varies. And it, I mean, this is a very generic question, but do they typically do a fire sale? Let's say the house is worth $500,000 on the market. Is the bank going to come in and try to, you know, sell it for 500 or 520? Or are they going to come in and be like, look, we need to dump this thing as fast as possible, and we're going to sell it for like 80% of, you know, of its value?
It really depends on the condition of the property. If the property is in move-in ready condition, you must believe that the bank is going to try to get as much value as they can from the property. Now, if the property is in disrepair, then they will discount it appropriately. Most banks do what they call a BPO, which is a broker's price opinion on the property, where they have local brokers actually go out to the property and tell them what the value is and what it will sell for on the open market. And so they use those as their guide to be able to extract as much money from the property as they can.
Okay. I mean, how bad does it screw up somebody's credit if they fall into foreclosure? And let's say the bank goes all the way through the process and forecloses on the house. I mean, does that like absolutely destroy somebody's credit?
It does leave a negative impact for sure. Typically, they say that your credit can drop anywhere between 100 or 150 points because of foreclosure.
Okay. Now let's talk about the equity position in a foreclosure. Let's say I have $300,000 of equity in my house, and I can't make the monthly payments. So the bank forecloses, they sell it. What happens with that 300? Do I get that 300, or, you know, I'm sure I get a piece of the equity, but maybe explain that to some people who may not understand fully how that works once the bank forecloses on the house and there's equity in that asset.
So there's two things I would say. First is that if you are a homeowner and you find yourself in a position where you are facing foreclosure and you have equity in your property, the best thing you can do is try to sell it on the open market, either with a real estate agent or to an investor to help extract that equity. That's the first thing.
Can you sell it though, DJ, when maybe you're past due a few months? Can you still try to sell the house?
Yes. As long as you are the owner of the property, you have the opportunity to sell the property. So it doesn't matter if you haven't paid in 10 years. As long as you're still the owner of the property, you can sell it. Now, you need to be able to satisfy the outstanding liens and encumbrances on the property, but you can still sell the property. So if you had a mortgage that was $100,000 and you haven't paid for a long time, and now the balance is $150,000, but the property value is $300,000, you can still sell that property, pay the $150,000, and get the other $150,000 in your pocket. So you can sell it at any time.
So that's the best approach, is try to sell it on the open market first.
Yes, that is the best approach, or sell it to an investor or whatever else, but sell it yourself. Now, your question about what happens with the equity in the property if the bank sells it, it really depends on where the bank sells it. So if the bank goes to the foreclosure auction and they sell it at the foreclosure auction, typically what happens is that there will be overage funds. Because if a bank had a mortgage on your property of $150,000 and it sold at the foreclosure auction for $200,000, that $50,000 of overage typically goes back to the sheriff or to the county or things like that. And it's held there for a time until other interested parties, other lien holders, or people like yourself, the previous homeowner, can go make a claim on that money. Mm-hmm. Now, if that property did not sell at the foreclosure auction and it went back to the bank, which means the title now reverts to the bank and the bank becomes the owner, you now have no opportunity to capture that additional equity. And if the bank goes and sells the house for $1 million, you don't have any right to the additional profit that the bank made.
Interesting. Okay. That is interesting. Now, maybe you know this, maybe you don't, that's fine. But what if somebody has a legal judgment against somebody else and that judgment requires them to pay a certain amount? Can they go and, you know, they can garnish their wages, obviously, and they could do other things with their bank accounts, but can you force somebody to like go into foreclosure on their home?
Well, I will say that I am not an attorney, I'm not a CPA, and I'm not a dentist, and you know, and I don't play one on TV, right? But what I will say is that when you look at lien priority on a property, that is always what dictates what can happen. So for example, a first mortgage may have the senior priority, actually taxes, you know, and the government have senior priority, and then your first mortgage and your second mortgage, and then typically judgments fall after that. And so depending on the size of the judgment, depending on what the judgment was for, I think that would dictate, and depending on what state the property is in, that would dictate the power of that judgment and how it can impact their ability to live in the property. Now, that being said, a judgment would have to be satisfied when someone sells the property in order to provide clear and marketable title.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. This has been really helpful. I know at the beginning you said, look, one of the best ways to avoid the foreclosure process is just open communication, call them, have a conversation, be transparent. I like that. Or, you know, if you can't make the payments and you don't see anything changing in the foreseeable future, go out there in the market and try to sell the property yourself. Any other tips, DJ, for the listeners who may be facing foreclosure or who are curious about this topic?
Yeah, there's a few things I will say. Is one, that there are free resources out there available to help you if you're facing foreclosure. The government, HUD, has free foreclosure counselors all across the country in your neighborhood who can help you if you're facing foreclosure. That's number one. Number two is, there is a ton of information about what to do when you're facing foreclosure out there. And you cannot just stick your head in the sand and do nothing. You can't roll over and play dead. You have to take it seriously and you have to be committed to putting together a plan that allows you to save your home. The last thing I'll say is that if you are going to foreclosure in the next few days, the thing that can stop a foreclosure dead in its tracks is bankruptcy. Now, bankruptcy has its pros and its cons, but if you really, really need to keep your home and you're facing foreclosure, if you file bankruptcy, that will stop a foreclosure. Now, that can only be a temporary band-aid in some scenarios, but that is kind of the nuclear option for homeowners if you are at your wit's end and you have nothing else to lose.
Because there's the homestead exemption, which I understand is what, like $250,000, or there some type of limit where your equity in your primary house is protected. Is that correct?
Well, the thing with bankruptcy and what happens when you're facing bankruptcy is that you get an automatic stay. And so all your debtors have to stop. And so if I'm facing foreclosure tomorrow and I file bankruptcy today, although they were supposed to foreclose on my house the next day, that is an automatic stay. So they have to stop whatever they're doing, even if they're right there at the 1 yard line. And so that is the kind of nuclear option that homeowners can use when they're facing that situation. Now, again, it's not always the best option because it comes with some, you know, some things like bad credit. It impacts you negatively for future borrowing opportunities. And everybody in the world can go see that you filed bankruptcy. But if you want to keep your home, it may be the option that you need to take.
Yeah. And hopefully if you're listening to this, you don't find yourself in this position, but it's been a really productive conversation, DJ, just to get a better understanding of the process and how everything works. And maybe it'll help dispel some fear and give some people some tips if they find themselves in this precarious situation. So DJ Olojo, he's the managing director of ASO Custom Homes. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put his bio and links to connect with him on the website. So if you go to BYFIQ.com, which stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ, go to the guest page, you'll find DJ's page, and you can find all the information that you need in order to get in touch with them. So DJ, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, real quick, if you get value out of this podcast, it would mean the world to me if you would leave us a review. Also, if you want to be featured on the show, send me a recording with your name, your age, where you're from, and your question through a voice note or a video using your smartphone. Then email me the file at hello@byfiq.com. BYFIQ stands for Boosting Your Financial IQ. So once again, it's hello@byfiq.com. If selected, I'll give you a shout out and answer your question for you and the entire community. One last thing, if you want access to additional resources that will help you fast track your path to financial freedom, visit byfiq.com or download our free app in the Apple or Google Play App Store today. Thanks again.